Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, Getting to Hope. And our text is from Isaiah, the 64th chapter, the 1st through the 9th verses. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. That's Isaiah, the 64th chapter, the 1st through the 9th verse. This text offers what may be considered a rather strange message for this Advent season. The prophet Isaiah is actually weeping and wailing to God, pleading that the Lord come down from heaven and show himself strong like he used to do. It seems that God is nowhere to be found, and his people need him desperately. A lamentation, though, for Advent? A prayer of sadness and sorrow? It's not how we usually think of this season. Rather, this is the time when we pull out the decorations and start singing the songs of Christmas. This should be a joyous time as we wait with anticipation for the Christ child, a time to reflect on perfect peace and joy, love and hope. That's at the heart of the promise born at Advent. This is the time of good news, so what's wrong with Isaiah? It's as if the prophet has chosen to break into our regularly scheduled program of Christmas lights and candles and laughter with this loud and painful bulletin screaming, "Something is wrong!" While Isaiah is not necessarily known as the weeping prophet, the Bible is full of lamentations from Jeremiah and Job and Habakkuk, the Psalms. Without even asking, I'm sure we don't turn to the Bible to read about other folks' pain because we usually want to be inspired and uplifted. But you need to know there's a lot of pain in the Bible. The Psalms are full of prayers, of lament, full of people wailing and weeping. God, how long? How long must we wait? God, why aren't you here? Do you not hear me? I remember one night at our trauma session at Roxbury Presbyterian Church when a woman really was crying uncontrollably over some events that had happened in her life, and she simply wailed. And you could tell by her crying that she was angry with the world. She was angry with God, and it made us all uncomfortable. And this passage in Isaiah might make us uncomfortable too, but it's a good reminder, just as that woman's cry was during our trauma session, it's a good reminder that often we are not where we want to be. Often life is not what we expect it to be. This text jolts us out of any illusion about life as we live it. Instead of leaping into this season with our usual manufactured sense of happiness and glee, Isaiah said, look, let's just call a spade a spade. Things are not where we want them to be. This text is about Israel, you know, lamenting God's perceived absence. Why, if in the past God has intervened in such big and dramatic ways, is he not here now? How many times have we prayed that? The mountains would quake. God, I wish the mountains would quake and the nations would tremble at your presence. Where are you, Lord? But instead, we tend to believe that God has abandoned his people. There are a number of things we can learn from this text. First of all, a lesson of context. Israel considered itself to be the only people of God. Because God took such good care of them in the past, out of slavery, through the desert, into the promised land, they thought God was at their beck and call. Because of all his unexpected and awesome deeds, as the text tells us. But Isaiah wants the Israelites, and he wants us to remember, we can't, verse 7, take hold of God. No one can. God acts according to his will, affecting who he wants to affect, when he wants, in a way that only he has to understand. Again and again, as believers, we are forced to return to the truth about the sovereignty of God, God's unapologetic, independent nature. God is not under any other. God is not beholden to anybody, including us. God is a God who is above all things and before all things and is in control of all things. Isaiah was preaching to people who wanted a God to respond to their needs. But you see, Isaiah wants you to understand, we're not here to dictate to God. We are here to glorify God. But, and here is the good news, Isaiah describes a God who is unchanging, a good God, an amazing God, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that is the promise to which we must cling. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener-supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. We are talking about God's faithfulness and God's unchanging nature in this text from Isaiah, where Isaiah is lamenting and wailing on behalf of the people of Israel. But in the midst of this wailing, I think the prophet is teaching us a lesson about God's unchanging nature. You see, if God doesn't change, that means that we must. And that is the hard part. That is where the rubber meets the road. This is a lament for people who have earned God's wrath because they are stuck in rebellion and in sin. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. This is in the text that Isaiah laments. Yes, we want to celebrate this season, but first Isaiah suggests we reflect on who we are. We are sinners. We are sinners saved by grace. We want to be radical believers, becoming more like Christ. In other words, quoting one of the great theologians of our time, the late Dallas Willard, Jesus Christ's ongoing spiritual presence is a psychological reality for us in holiness and devotion. This is where we are trying to go. God is not going to change, so we have to change. We have to grow. We have to have the mind of Christ. And this transformation is not immediate, nor is it easy. We don't just wake up the first Sunday in Advent, consumed in perfect peace, joy, love, and hope. And that's why lamenting is kind of a good way to begin this season, or a good way to really reflect on the true meaning of this season, because we're not where we're supposed to be. The Israelites that Isaiah is speaking on behalf, he knows that they're not where they're supposed to be. They have to get there. You have to get to hope and get to joy and get to peace and get to love. And life is hard. and getting there is not easy. But this is how we remember the greatness of God. Advent is a time for not just waiting, but a time for examination in anticipation of Christ's coming, his first coming as that baby and his coming again. And so what we remember through this lamentation, what we ask ourselves is, are we ready? Are we ready? God, where are you? Because we're not doing what we are supposed to do. We have the word. We know what we should do, but are we ready? The reason Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, is the best-selling book in all history is simple. It deals with the fundamental question in life, why are we here? Where we're here to get ready for eternity. So we have to get to hope, to understand. We have to get to peace. We have to get to joy. We have to get to love. Christian hope is not based on wishful thinking. It's not the same as hoping that the Patriots go to the Super Bowl. No, Christian hope is about understanding that there is a full assurance in God's promise of eternity. So you can be certain. That's the hope of God. You can be certain. The prophet Isaiah reminds Israel, and he reminds us that God has not gone away. God has never left us. God is here proclaiming his peace, his joy, his love, and his hope through us. So we have to make space in our beings, make space in our heart, make space in our lives for God. And when we do that, we get closer to this divine hope. We get closer to understanding this assurance that God gives us. Oh, it is a wonderful thought for Christmas, that joy is in the world because of God, not because of us, but because of God. So my prayer for you is that you will get there. You will get there through the study of the Word. You will get there through prayer. You will get there through opening space in your heart for God. That's the hope that he has called us, not just to have, but the hope he's called us to be. Be blessed. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign.